You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Hello, everyone. It's really great to be here with you. I'm thankful for a lot of things, and I'm sure you are as well. I'm very thankful that Pastor Andrew extended an invitation to me to share the Word of God. My only prayer is that it'll bring life to you and it won't just be information. I'm also thankful that he has raised up a team to lead Koinonia Church in this very, very difficult season. Led by Pastor Andrew and Carrie and the whole team, they're people of character. They're people who are sold out to Jesus. They are willing to sacrifice anything and everything to do what he wants them to do, be led by the Spirit like Pastor Andrew was talking about a couple of weeks ago. And I just feel as though that God raised this team up for this generation, and as the book of Esther said, for such a time as this. I say to all of the team, well done, and thank you for keeping us on track in this season of time. I am also thankful that Pastor Andrew gave me the privilege of choosing my own topic, even though he may regret that after I speak. But I want to talk with you today, since I've been given this freedom, I want to talk with you about faith when you can't see. Now, would you please indulge me just for a second, those who may be in the building and those who are listening online, would you just say those words with me? Faith when you can't see. On January 24th, we had a blackout in our block. I remember the date because I was trying to watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat or win or try to win the game against Green Bay Packers, which ultimately I found out they did. Well, at almost halftime, the power outage happened. And it lasted for 3 hours. And I got to tell you, I was a little bit miffed because I really wanted to see that game. Now, don't get me wrong, I wasn't mad to the extent that I beat my dogs. I left my wife. I went on a three-day non-speaking time. I didn't drink a lot of alcohol to get back. It had nothing to do with that. I just was a little bit miffed. It's almost kind of like going to an hour or so early to a movie to get a good seat, and you're there, and about a minute before you start watching the movie, 6'4", 285-pound guy sits right in front of you, and you can't see. It's just a little unnerving. In the moments that I've been allotted today, I really don't want to talk about not being able to see a football game or not being able to see a movie, but I'd like to talk to you about what happens when you can't see because life has turned everything upside down, when everything's going south when it should be going north, when you and I have all of our dreams, our plans, our hopes, they're all shattered and broken. What do we do? What do older people like myself do when they reach the golden years and they've discovered it's not so golden, maybe it's not even bronze? What happens when we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel? We've been in a year-long pandemic and now moving into 2021, and no one can see the end of the light at the end of the tunnel. What do we do there? I think all of us have had experiences where we can identify. Back in 1991, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I am sitting in on a ballpark, and by myself, I have been unemployed for 3 months, and I'm crying out to the Lord, literally crying, in the middle of the night, and I've got my hands raised like this, and I can tell you that I can remember that moment as fresh as I can remember what happened yesterday, and I cried out to the Lord. I said, Father, I just can't see another job on the horizon. I just can't see how Donna and the boys, and my boys were 14 and 12 years old at the time, I can't see how we're going to make it through this time. Well, we did make it through that time. God did provide a job, and then it happened all over again. First time I got the paycheck, I looked at it, and the amount on that paycheck was so small, I said these words. I don't think I said them audibly, but I said them in my mind. I can't see how we're going to pay for the bills with this small of a paycheck. I've had a lot of, by the way, I should say, we did get a job, we did pay the bills, and we've made it through that time. I've had a lot of people over the years tell me about relationships. I can't see why they said that to me. I can't understand how they could treat me that way. I was talking with a guy just 3 weeks ago. He had received a stimulus check for $600. And he was talking to me and he says, Tim, and I could tell by the way that he talked to me and the voice tone that he was using, he was mad, he was frustrated, he was angry, and I'll try to just communicate how he communicated to me. He says, Tim, I can't see why the government would give us $600. What is the matter with their thinking? I can't see how they think that's going to do any good. And he went on and on. Finally, I just stopped and I said, hey, can I ask a question? And this is probably why people don't want to come to me for counseling and why God didn't put me in the counseling profession, is because I don't have a lot of filters. And the older I get, I'd kind of just say it like it is. So I looked at him and with this tone, I says, are you serious? Don't you have $600 more than you had before they gave it to you? Isn't that at least something to be thankful for? Well, the conversation ended at that point. Usually conversations do end when you don't follow the negativity. Listen, we've all had experiences like that. But the problem is that when you and I react to things on the basis of our limited view, we've all gone to hotels and some of us can afford to go to the full front ocean view. Some of us can afford the partial view. Some of us can't afford any view. But when you have a partial view of the ocean, you can't see the whole ocean. When you and I can't see clearly, we don't have the full picture of things. We don't have insight into why the other person does what they do. We can draw wrong conclusions. Proverbs says, if you only hear one side, they always seem good. But when you hear the other side, then you can be just. When we react to things that are happening on the basis of our limited view of things, we open the door to a critical spirit, and the people that where we should be loving, we're now judging and criticizing. The people we should be working with and caring about, we're now on opposite teams, and we're not thriving as we should. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, we're living in a season, and it's not just the pandemic season. It's not just 2020. We're living in a time when we can only see things very, like they're dimly lit. It's almost like we're looking at things through a fog or in a mirror that you can't really see adequately. We will have a time when we will see when we meet Jesus, but right now we all are looking at things through the lens of a view that's not complete. So in this season, we can decide to rise up in faith and see as God sees, or we can continue to react on our own basic inspirations and our own basic views and see and open the door to a critical spirit. I want to have you turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 18. It's a story about a man who was blind, and he made some decisions. There were five decisions I want to address that opened the door for him to regain sight so that we can rise up in faith and see as God sees. Here's what Luke chapter 18 says. It's about a guy by the name of Bartimaeus. As Jesus and his followers arrived at Jericho, there was a blind beggar sitting on the roadside. When he heard the crowd approaching, he asked, what's all the commotion? Now, you notice that Luke's version does not use the name Bartimaeus, but we know that it's Bartimaeus because Mark chapter 10 also records this event from Mark's vantage point, and Mark uses his name. The reason I chose this text, or one of the reasons, is I feel like the truths that are going to be talked about in just a moment or two, they're truths that apply to everyone, not just one man or one woman. They're to all of us who can't see clearly. So he says, what's all the commotion about? It's Jesus, they said. Jesus the Nazarene is passing by. The blind beggar shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have pity and show me mercy. Those who were in front of the crowd scolded him and warned him to be quiet, but the beggar screamed out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy. Suddenly Jesus stopped. He told those nearby, bring the man over here to me. And when they brought him before Jesus, he asked the man, what is it you want from me to do for you? Lord, he said, please, I want to see again. Jesus said, now you will receive and you will see. Receive your sight this moment, for your faith in me has given you sight and new life. Instantly, he could see again. His eyes popped open. He saw Jesus, and he shouted loud praises to God, and he followed Jesus. And when the crowd saw what had happened, they too erupted in shouts of praise to the Lord. If you're taking notes, and I'd love to have you jot this down if you wouldn't mind, let me give you five decisions that are notable. The first decision is that this man, Bartimaeus, decided to listen to the voice of truth. He couldn't see, but he could listen. We all have limitations, but there's always something we can do. So he chose to listen to the truth. He couldn't see. Hey, I can't see what's going on. Jesus, man, Jesus from Nazareth, he's coming near. He heard that truth and he responded. I think we need to hear truth because there's a lot of opinions about God out there, and the truth is something that can set us free. We need to hear. Maybe you need to hear today. Jesus is near. He's not very far away. You draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. Listen, he can see you even though you can't see him at this season of time. He's come. He wants to meet with you. Just like he wanted to meet with Zacchaeus. Everybody else hated him because he was a tax collector, but he wanted to meet with him. He wants to meet with you. He wants to help you to see, even when you can't see. This man decided to listen to truth, but he also made a second decision. Write this down. He decided not to listen to the voices of opinions. There are lots of voices today speaking, and today, opinions of people sometimes can drown out the truth. Shut up, they said. Be quiet. Jesus is somebody, you're a nobody. Jesus has bigger things to do. You're not important to him. They began to spew this out, but he responded because he believed the truth about Jesus. There's a decision that all of us have to make, and that is, are we going to focus on and listen to truth? Or are we going to listen to that which is opinions that causes doubt? There was a movie that I watched, I don't even know how long ago. It was many years ago. It starred Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz. And in this movie, there were a lot of bad guys who were trying to kill them. And in one scene in the midst of the movie, Cameron Diaz wants to leave Tom and go it on her own. And so he grabs her in this movie, and he says to her, looking straight at her, he says, with me, you're going to live. Without me, you're going to die. With me live, with me die. With me, without me. And as I watched that, it caused me to laugh. Why don't you watch this clip and see if you laugh as well.
Your life expectancy is like here. With me, it's you. Without me, here. With me, without me. With me, without me.
Well, maybe it was funnier to me than it was to you, but I showed us that clip because I want to say in all seriousness, and please listen to me, with Jesus. Now, I'm no Tom Cruise, so it's not going to be as good as he is, but with Jesus, you live. Without Jesus, you die. Listen to the voices of truth and you live. Listen to the voices of those who have opinions and you will die. Listen to the voices of truth and you'll become a balcony person, a person who is able to ascend up high and see far and beyond what others see. Or you can live and listen to the doubts and the opinions, and you become a basement person locked into your own limited view. Listen to the truth, and when you fall down, you'll get up. But if you listen to the opinions of mankind, you will give up. I have been praying in this season of time about many things, but one thing specifically, I've asked God to help us gain discernment. 1 John 4, I believe it is, John says, there's discernment that we need to see the difference between truth and evil, truth and opinions, truth and deception. Discernment is built upon wisdom and knowledge that we glean from the Word of God. It's also a gift that's offered to us. And I've been praying, oh Lord, give us discernment so that we will know what is true and what is opinion, because one does lead to life and one does lead to death. The knowledge and the wisdom that I've picked up has taught me a couple of things about truth. Truth produces confidence in God. When you believe the truth, you'll always put your confidence in God. But when you listen to opinions, opinions will always lead you to trust in and have confidence in human ingenuity. Truth never changes, I've learned from the wisdom and the knowledge I've picked up. Truth never changes, but opinions are constantly changing. Truth, there's only one truth, but there are many, many, many millions of opinions. We need to have discernment. So what are you listening to today? Are you listening to the truth? Is it triumphing over the opinions that you hear, or are the opinions winning? The third decision that this man made was he decided to cry out in faith rather than remain silent. Son of David, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's an interesting phrase, because only a believer that Jesus was the Messiah would say that phrase. If a person in that day, the Jewish person, didn't believe that he was the Messiah, they would never call him Son of David. They would have said, he's Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. But this man cried out, regardless of what people were saying, shut up, be quiet. No, I'm desperate. I'm going to cry. I'm not going to let your opinions of what I should do stop me from calling out to God. I'm desperate for him. Son of David, he says, a man of faith. And this cry is heard by God. When we began our parenting years a number of years ago, and when my firstborn son, Brad, was born, I didn't even want to hold him because I felt like I would break him. And as I grew in parenting, however, you know, I learned some things along the way. When he was first born, the moment he would cry, we would just run to his side. It just we heard a little whimper. We were there. We cried. As he grew, we began to understand that there are different types of cries. You know, we've all heard the story of the little boy who cried wolf. Well, there are different types of cries. Sometimes it's not because they have a need. Sometimes it's because they're angry, or they're mad, or they're upset or frustrated. Maybe they're sitting on the potty and they're crying their eyes out, and you come running to them, but they're not really in need. They're just making a statement. You think I'm going to do what you want me to do on this potty? Absolutely not. If you think that, you've got another thing coming. No, they're crying is making a statement. When they're in that crib and they're shaking the crib and it's 8 o'clock and they're crying, it's not because they have a need. They're making a statement. I don't want to go to bed at 8:30 or 8 o'clock. I don't want to go to bed when you want me to. But listen, Jesus hears the cries of his kids when it comes from a point of need and a point of desire, when it's connected to their heart. We all know that there's no power in prayer that's only connected to words. Doesn't Matthew 6 say that there are those people who think that they can get God's attention by calling upon him and with just many words? And they find out that they can't. You know, our prayers have to be deeper than just, you know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, or, hey, Lord, we got bread and we got meat, now let's go and eat. It's got to be deeper than that. And when our cries are connected to our hearts and we have a desire to meet with Him, He hears those cries. It actually says that when He heard this, everybody else said, hey, shut up to the man. But when Jesus heard it, He heard a cry of faith and He stopped. He cried out in faith. Let me give you, there are 10 components to anyone's faith, and I just want to mention four of them because they're important to me. Number one, faith is intellectually believing in Jesus. If you're going to rise up in faith, if you're going to be a person who has faith when you can't see, you're going to need to intellectually believe in Jesus. Mark 9:24, the man says, Lord, I do believe, help me, help my unbelief. Faith, secondly, is physically acting on that belief. James 2:17, James is saying to the people, hey, listen, you tell me you have faith, but if you don't have works, it really is dead. So I need to see some works because true faith will produce works. Number three, faith is putting confidence in Jesus to do what He has promised to do before you see it. It's so exciting for me to read in the Passion Translation, Hebrews 11:1. It says this, faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. I love that. And last of all, faith, it doesn't only please God, but it opens the door to seeing the things that are most important. I don't know if this is a good illustration or not, but they're kind of, faith is kind of like our night goggles. Faith allows us to see the spiritual realm and see beyond what is happening all around us and to see as God sees. It's kind of like night goggles. There's a guy by the name of Wayne Myers. Some of you probably remember him or have heard of him. He wrote a book called Living Beyond the Possible. And he talks about that being the sixth sense. Faith becomes that bridge to the unseen world. And it really does help us to see what's really important. Many of you have heard the name Helen Keller. Some of you may or may not know that Helen Keller was an American author, a disability rights advocate. She was a political activist and a lecturer. She lost her sight and hearing after a bout of illness at the age of 19 months. And she gives this quote about blindness. Now listen, when someone like her talks about blindness, your and my ears need to perk up because she's not speaking from textbook stuff. She's speaking from experience. And here's what she said. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. I'm going to say that again. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but no vision. In other words, it's possible to see through your human eyes the material and the temporal world and lose the ability to see what's really important. May I suggest to you that people are more important than your views today? That truth is more important than opinions. Passion is more important than duty. Faith is more important than unbelief. Hope is more important than doubt. And love is most important of all. If your faith is low and you're unable to see, I'm going to encourage you to read the book of Jude. It's one chapter long. And start doing what he said. He said, build up, and for those of you who need to rebuild, rebuild your most holy faith. It's the key to seeing in the midst of the night. The fourth decision that this man made was he said yes to Jesus when he was invited to come near. Yes is a key word. Whenever Jesus invites you to do something, yes will set things in motion. No will only postpone his ability to work in your life. Someone said one time, and I kind of believe that it's true, that they believe that Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, that when the angel came to her and told her that she was going to give birth to the Son of God. When she said, "Yes, Lord, do unto me as you have said," it was at that point that she conceived. I don't know if that was true, but I know that when you say yes to Jesus, that you start things in motion. Maybe, you have to be kind of old like me, but there's a painting of Jesus years and years ago, back in the 50s. My dad and mom had it on their wall. It was a picture of Jesus standing at a door, and it was in connection to Revelation 3:20, if you're familiar with that verse, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." It was a picture of Jesus standing at the door and knocking. And the thing that most people miss when they look at that picture is that the outside of the door has no knob on it. There's only a knob on the inside, which means you're the only one who can open the door. God can't even open that for you. You have to open it to him. And when you do, all of a sudden, it releases him to do what we can't do. You may be listening today online, and you've never said yes to Jesus. Boy, this is the great time. I mean, I know that we've started into February, but we're at the beginning of a new year. What a great opportunity to say, you know, "Lord, I've never said yes to you, and I want to." This man, Bartimaeus, said yes to you, came near, and he received his sight. Man, he received a miracle. "I need you, Lord. I want to say yes to you." There are others who maybe you said yes years ago, but you stopped saying yes. I got married, 48 years, almost 48 years. Well, what's today? Today's the 21st. We just experienced, just last week, the 16th, we experienced our 48th anniversary. And I can go back to that 48 years ago and still remember when I said, "Yes, I do." But boy, there's been a lot of little yeses after that. And sometimes you can just stop saying yes. Sometimes you get so comfortable in what you're doing, and Jesus asks you to do something, and you don't want to move beyond your comfort zone, so you stop the work of God. And if you stopped engaging in what God wants you to do, I encourage you to start saying yes again. This man said yes and started things happening. And the last decision that was made was not by Bartimaeus, but it was a decision by Jesus. And it says that he decided to open this man's eyes because of his faith. That's verse 42. Is there anybody listening who would like to rise up in faith today? Is there anybody listening who is willing to make a decision or update their decision saying, "I'm going to listen to truth and let that be triumphant over my doubts and the opinions that I hear"? Do we have anybody out there who's willing to cry out to God regardless of what people are saying because you're desperately in need of him? Anyone willing to say yes to Jesus? If you are, please do that. Let me leave you today with two verses that are familiar to all of us, but meaningful to me personally and maybe to you as well. 1 Corinthians 13 says this: "Right now, we only see a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries. Our understanding, our sight is incomplete now. But one day, I will understand everything just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all, so above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which we all run." What we've been talking about today in these last few moments is not something that's of little consequence. It's crucial and critical to your and my well-being. It's one of the three major things that we need to make it through dark times, to make it through times when we can't see: faith, hope, and love. And faith is one of those components. And the last verse is a verse that's led me to make a decision, kind of like Bartimaeus. And it says this: "Even when I walk through the darkest valley," other translations more familiar to us say, "when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me." David is speaking. He says, "Your authority is my strength and my peace." I am personally not a man without faith. And as for me and my house, we have decided to not be ruled by fear. Each day, Donna and I, whether we do it audibly or mentally or actually in some form, we make a decision to rise up and live by faith and not by sight. We will not live in accordance with what we see humanly, but we will rise up in faith and see how God sees, and that will be how we live. Live or die, we know with Him we live, without Him we die. Truth brings life. Opinions of humanity just bring us down to levels that we don't want to live. Lord Jesus, I thank you today for opening our eyes to who you are. You not only tell us the truth, you are the way, the truth, and the life. All of us experience, and I know it, and I know it's all of us, Lord, we all experience times when we can't see. And I know that we all draw conclusions at times, and it causes us to be critical, and it causes us to pit ourselves against other people. And we want to be raised up in faith so that we can see as you see. Help us, Lord, in this season of time, we pray. In your name, amen. Well, blessings to everyone. Thank you very much for listening. It was great to be with you. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click Give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.